when the angels come to Abraham to announce the birth of Isaac, before Abraham knows they're angels, he rushes to feed them. Or more accurately, he rushes to tell Sarah to feed them. And what does she feed them? Milk and meat. It's right there. She gives them curds and calf. Now, obviously, the tradition struggles with this because you're not supposed to feed people milk and meat together. So one answer is that angels don't really eat. They were just pretending to eat, acting like they were eating. But of course, even if that were true, it doesn't explain why Abraham fed them. There is, in fact, a legend, a midrash, where the angels are saying to God, you shouldn't give human beings the Torah because they're just going to break the Torah's laws. And God says to them, what are you talking about? You ate milk and meat at Abraham's. But there is, of course, another answer to this, which is that the Torah hadn't been given yet. So how was Abraham to know that you couldn't serve milk and meat together? Because Judaism had not reached the point where we had those laws. Now, if you like that explanation best, and I do, I mean, I don't know whether angels eat or not, but it doesn't explain why Abraham didn't feed them, but it's clear why Abraham, I mean, did feed them, but it's clear why Abraham wouldn't feed them milk and meat if he didn't know yet. If you like that explanation best, you're a conservative Jew. And here's my rationale. Because conservative Judaism is built on several pillars. I want to mention three today, although you could divide it up in lots of ways. The first is the belief that everything in human life and human society is subject to change. That in fact, even fixed rules can change over the course of history. There was a time in this world when everyone, I mean everyone, accepted slavery. Even slaves accepted slavery. We have writings from ancient slaves, and they say many things about how hard their life is, but they never say, and slavery is unjust. Today, even the people who practice slavery, and some do, in some countries in sub-Saharan Africa, even they claim they're not practicing slavery because they know it's wrong. Things change. You may or may not like it, but after all, in the antebellum South, that is, in America before the Civil War, there were rabbis who used the Jewish tradition to defend slavery. You'll also be pleased to know there were rabbis who used the Jewish tradition to attack slavery. More of them. And we believe they were right. But the point is, things change. Even inside of our tradition, things change. And conservative Judaism is built in part on the realization that history changes people and societies. And religion ought to accept and embrace that change. I mean, think of America. America is the richest, strongest country that has ever been in history. And it began in a break with tradition, which we celebrate on this weekend. Because as strong as traditions are, innovation and change and competition and all the things that America lauds, all the things that America says is wonderful, all of those end up strengthening, not weakening, even the traditions themselves. There is a reason why religion in America is stronger than in just about any other country in the Western world, and the reason, according to a recent article that you may have read, I certainly did, is because of the competition between religions and inside religions. This may or may not be a surprise to you, But a lot of programs and innovations have their origin in the desire to do better than the synagogue down the street. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And Judaism recognizes not only that Judaism has changed through the ages, but that it's different in different places. Everybody here has an ancestor that didn't come from America. And the Judaism that your ancestor practiced is different from the Judaism that your ancestor did, and yours and yours. I remember the first time I was in Israel and saw Ethiopian Jews, and they said, we're going to do a traditional Jewish dance from Ethiopia. And it was about hunting a lion. And I thought, my ancestors did a lot of things, but I don't think hunting lions was on their list. And yet, that was a traditional Jewish dance because it was for their community. You may or may not know this, but in the temple in Jerusalem, music was played at every Shabbos service. On Shabbat, you always had music. That's why the Psalms begin accompanied by this instrument or that instrument. Music was an integral part of the worship of the Jewish people, and the time that we stopped playing music on Shabbat morning was when the temple was destroyed. And people went into mourning for the destruction of the temple. And they said, how can we play music when the temple is gone? Now later on, people developed other rationales, other reasons why you couldn't play music. They said, well, if the instrument breaks, you'll fix it, and that's not allowed on Shabbat. But that wasn't the original reason. So, in fact, you could argue that when we play music on Shabbat, we're being more traditional, not less traditional. It's just not what most people are used to. And, by the way, here we are being traditional because Sinai Temple is almost 100 years old. Can you still hear me? Sinai Temple is almost 100 years old, and we have always played music on Shabbat. So, according to us, we're being traditional. That's one. First is that principle, that pillar of change. You know why? I'll come to the microphone in a minute.
Our ancestors didn't have microphones, so they couldn't have outlawed them. Second is the idea that Judaism has to be brought to the world. Very traditional communities tend to be very insular. They talk to themselves. They don't, by and large, talk to the world. But God's mission to Abraham was, go forth and be a blessing to the world. Very hard to do if you don't interact with the world. And so, part of conservative Judaism's idea was tradition and change, the world and community. Solomon Schechter, one of the founders of conservative Judaism, said it was the community that creates the religion. And that certainly has been our principle. So, for example, when people no longer lived within walking distance of synagogues, we had two choices. We could say, you're not allowed to drive to synagogue, you have to stay home, and celebrate Shabbos by yourself. Or we could say, since it is the community which creates the Shabbat, even if you're driving to come to shul, that is not ideal, but it is okay. By the way, in case you're curious, according to conservative Judaism, you shouldn't be driving anywhere else. So, if you're leaving here to go shopping or to the golf course, Solomon Schechter doesn't approve. That's why, for example, and I want to include and mention this, on Monday, December 13th, at 7:30, we are joining with other synagogues. It was begun by Valley Beth Shalom, another conservative synagogue, and is joined by Stephen S. Wise, a Reform synagogue in Kol Tikva, which is Reconstructionist, to protest the genocide in the Sudan at the Skirball. And we are going to have an expert on what is going on in the Sudan. I'll be speaking, Rabbi Schulweis will be speaking. It's at 7:30 on Monday the 13th. These flyers are outside, and I hope that you will come. Because in addition to the principle that Judaism changes, is the principle that Judaism has to show certain values to the world and certain meaning to the world. And that without that, we lose much of our purpose. And then third is the idea that religion, tradition, is not a cookbook. It's true that you can open up codes of Jewish law that will tell you how to do virtually everything, including, by the way, tell you which shoe to put on first in the morning. But part of this depends on how you wish to live your life. When we instruct our children from early on, we give them very fixed rules about how they have to live. And that's important. But as they get older, they have to grow. They have to choose, and they have to struggle. And we cannot force feed them laws for every stage of life. Judaism has certain things which are clearly fixed. But so much of what is best in our tradition and most interesting and most creative has been innovation in the stream of tradition. Cantorial music, the music that is used in synagogues all over America that came from Eastern Europe, is about 200 years old. The way that a cantor chants in traditional Ashkenazic synagogues 500 years ago, nobody ever heard such a thing. Now, we think of it as traditional, but it was an innovation. That's part of the magic mix that makes a Jewish tradition. I don't know what Judaism will look like 100 years from now, but I hope that it is shaped by people who care for the tradition and struggle to bring to it something new. People who know that Abraham didn't understand about mixing milk and meat. And if we believe deeply enough in this idea that traditions have to not only be cherished but also changed, like that story that I have told before about the two disciples of a great teacher, and one of them in his life follows exactly and slavishly everything that his teacher taught, and the other one develops his own ideas, his own interpretations, his own nuance. And when they meet later in life, one of them says, "I'm so disappointed in you. I did everything our teacher told us to. I followed all of his dictates, all of his laws, all of his rules exactly. I went in the way of my teacher. Why didn't you?" And the other one says, "Oh no, you're wrong. I followed him better than you did. You see, he grew up and left his teacher, and I grew up and left mine." It is important to grow and to struggle and to find out for yourself what part of the tradition speaks most powerfully to you. And every Jew should have that opportunity, and not just here in America. That's why it is in the interest of all Jews everywhere to promote the Masorti movement in Israel. The Masorti movement is a movement that seeks to allow Jews to practice a Judaism that is different from one standard brand of Judaism. It is a strange and ironic thing that as a conservative rabbi, I can perform a wedding in any country in the world except Israel. But this comes in part from the idea that if you don't have Judaism one specific way, it will not survive. But that's not been true throughout history. There was Eastern Judaism, Western Judaism, Hasidim, Mitnagdim. Jews were always differing in their interpretations. And so do we. On December 5th, next Sunday, not tomorrow, but a week from Sunday, we have our annual Masorti dinner to support and promote this idea of struggle and growth and change, of bringing a face of Judaism to the world that will inspire and encourage. And we're having that dinner here at Sinai Temple. Two of our members, Dr. Ed Kaminer and Mark Halusim, will be receiving awards. Ed Kaminer, the Parnas Award for long-term leadership, and Mark Halusim is the Masorti Man of the Year for his efforts, by the way, not only in the Masorti movement, but in many other causes, including helping us create this worldwide watch against the genocide in Sudan. That is the best face of what Judaism has to show the world. There is nothing that we could do with our time that would be more traditional. To protest against the genocide in Sudan is like Abraham yelling at God for the destruction of Sodom. The analogy obviously isn't perfect, but the desire to prevent the suffering of people and the necessity for Jews to speak not only to ourselves but also to the world, that's why we're here. If we lose ourselves in books and forget that out there is God's world, then we have betrayed our tradition and made our Judaism into a fossil and not into a living thing. Conservative Judaism seeks to be a living Judaism, a growing and changing Judaism, a Judaism that brings music back to our prayer, a Judaism that has women and men sit together because they should, a Judaism that doesn't consider it less holy for a woman to chant the prayers than for a man. That is, I believe, in our day and in our age, what God wants of us. That's why we're here this morning, when in America we are blessed with so many other kinds of traditions and faiths. So I hope that over our lives we will deepen our faith, struggle with what it has to say to us, and not be afraid to hold on to the past as we change and move into the future. I hope that you will join us on December 5th and December 13th to express your faith in our tradition, in our possibilities, and in God. Shabbat Shalom.